Hello, everybody. Do you have a nice week so far? Things are going pretty good. Everybody looks pretty happy, pretty calm, pretty peaceful. It's good, good. If it's okay, I'm going to use this little nifty little stand thing. It's right here. That's cool. That's neat. That works. Of course, I can't read it from here, but that's okay. That's cool. No, that's fine. No, I did. You can. Modern conveniences. That's awesome. I'm going to see if they have one of these in the Armenian Orthodox Church, because if they don't, boy, they need one. Of course, I've never been actually to an Armenian Orthodox Church. I saw a videotape of it. And they spend most of their time standing, the people do, the congregation does, for like an hour and a half to 2 hours or 3 hours or however long. They stand for the entire service. That's why they only go once a week. Well, maybe. Well, anyway, let me introduce myself. My name is Nicole Wagner, and I did bring a special guest with me today. She's very, very special to me, and I hope to you as well, because without her, I wouldn't be here. My mother, Karen, wave and smile. She's not coming with me, but to Armenia, that we know of yet. But, you know, if y'all want to pray for my mom, that'll work. That'll work. Tonight, I'm going to be sharing a little bit out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Does anybody ever have trouble remembering what order those four are in? Yeah? Well, I learned a new acronym, Go Eat Popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go Eat Popcorn. It works. Since I learned that, I always keep them straight. It's great. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Freedom. Boy, how often do we hear that here in the United States of America, huh? We like our freedom, right? We like our freedom a lot. Well, the Armenian church likes their freedom also. And in case you haven't guessed, I am going to the country of Armenia. And if you don't know where that is, it's between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. And if you don't know where that is, Armenia is immediately east of Turkey. Did that help? These days, most everybody knows where Iraq is, and then Iran, and then it's this little itty-bitty spot on your map back there. It's yellow. It's Armenia. It's about the size of the state of Rhode Island. And there are approximately 3.5 million people that live there. And as I alluded to, the church in Armenia is Armenian Orthodox, not to be confused with the Roman Catholic. Has anybody studied church history much? Okay, well, brief rundown. See, I wish that I had brought my little gadget that I made, but I can't find it. See, I made a couple of them, and I gave one away, and I can't find the others. You'll never guess what it is. Have any of you seen a miniature marshmallow shooter made out of PVC pipe? See, normally, you have one? Ryan? You need one, man. You need one. Of all people, Ryan needs a mini marshmallow shooter. Because Ryan was telling me before service that he's going to be an elementary teacher, and he's hoping to use it for the mission field. Isn't that awesome? Pastor, I don't know what you're doing in this church, but you have got to be doing something right. You have totally got to be doing something right. I'm hearing about all these people that are going to all these countries from this church. It's awesome. It's awesome. Praise God for that. Well, anyway, I start getting into my little history lesson, and everybody says, history. Oh. And they zone out on me, and that is so not cool. So I usually have my little marshmallow shooter, and I get you. But today, since I don't have that, Pastor gave me the next best thing. A cordless microphone! I can go all over the place and look you straight in the eye so you can't fall asleep on me. It's great. Hi, welcome. Welcome. Thanks for coming. What a cute baby. You've got cute kids in this church. So anyway, history of the church. That's where I was. That was one of my little side trails, which wasn't really a side trail because they all connect. If you just pay attention, they all connect. The history of the church, you know, we had the church fathers, you know, Jesus left and we had the 12 apostles. And then, you know, a few centuries later, the church started doing I don't know what. And then, you know, we had Constantinople. He became king and he made Christianity very popular. Well, one thing about Armenia is before Constantinople got saved and learned about Christ, the Armenian king got saved, and the Armenians claim to be the first Christian church in the world, the first Christian nation in the world. So that's where I'm going. There's a rich heritage there. I'm just going to lean over here a lot. It won't make you nervous, will it? Y'all can handle it? Okay. The first Christian nation in the entire world was Armenia, or so they tell me, according to their verbal history. So that's pretty cool. Well, then Constantinople got saved and Christianity became very, very popular. And, well, then, you know, in the Dark Ages, all of the church got pretty murky as far as the true beliefs and what God really intended for Christians. And then, you know, came the Renaissance and all of a sudden people weren't ignorant anymore and were making their own decisions again and reading the Bible. And the printing press came out and the Bible was printed and a lot of people could read. And then Martin Luther did his theses and all this. And then the Catholic Church, which is what the one single church at the time was called, because Catholic, as we all know, means universal. The Catholic Church kind of split. Did you know that the Catholics had a church split? Frightening. Well, one of the little slivers off of that was the Armenian Orthodox Church. Okay? And Catholicism was quite split until the Vatican Council II was written. And so now they're all mostly submitting to our Pope, our current Pope. And the Armenians will too, to a point. But they reserve the right to not if they don't feel that it's right. So anyway, the Armenians can because now they're a free country. But I was getting back into the freedom thing, right? Well, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. What I'm going to do tonight is do a little comparison between the Armenian history, which is going to be over here. So I'll talk about Armenian history when I'm over here, because that's what helps me keep it straight is this visual movement. And then the Israelite history is over here. And see, I'm doing that on purpose because I've got all this barrenness right here. And it kind of reminds me of the Israelite. Right? You got the visual. I'm so glad you're with me. Thanks for smiling. I appreciate it. It helps me out a lot. Recent Armenian history. Back in 1915, was anybody here in 1915? No. Anybody want to pretend they were here in 1915? Well, if you were an Armenian in the year 1915, it was a rough year. It was a rough year. Because at that point, there was no country called Armenia. The Armenian people lived under the Ottoman Empire. Anybody remember who the Ottomans were ruled by? The people group of that the Ottomans consisted of. The people group. Anybody remember? The Turks. The Turks. And we thought Hitler was bad, and he was. But before Hitler and the massive genocide of the Jews, there were the Turks. And the Turks, for whatever reason, well, let's think about this, okay? The Armenians, they call themselves Christians. They're very proud to be Christians. And the Turks, they're Muslim. Let's think about where the conflict comes from. Okay, so the Turks, they just decided, you know what, these Armenians have got to go. And it was a rough year. 1915 started the beginning of a massive genocide, the first massive genocide of the 20th century. And estimates are between 600,000 and 1.5 million Armenians died at the hand of the Turks. And most of the world never heard about it because it got covered up because of what was happening in Germany and World War II. Okay? So that was a rough time. The Armenians were having a rough, rough time, and they were definitely not free. Okay, well, let's come into the barren wilderness over here. I'm going to make a little parallel, okay? It's just a parallel, so don't take it where it shouldn't go. But the Israelites were in bondage to the Egyptians. That's all the farther that parallel goes, okay? So don't take it any farther. But what we're going to talk about with the Israelites, because the Israelites have the history in the Old Testament, we can make personal application from it, right? Spiritual personal application happens from the Old Testament, as well as the New. Don't negate the New, okay? But we're going to talk about bondage and freedom, okay? Now, the Israelites were in some serious bondage to the Egyptians. Yes. And they cried a lot. Okay? So our personal spiritual application is that before we were Christians, we were in bondage. Okay? Now, how many of us grew up in the church? Cool. Me too. I'll share my testimony in a minute. What kind of bondage could we possibly have been in before we became Christians? Okay, this is your turn to talk because I'm not going to do all the talking. Because I'm not the only one in this room that can think. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, so before we became Christians, what kind of bondage did we find ourselves in? What's the most obvious? Sin. Sin, guilt, bondage. Sin is bondage, right? Sin is bondage. Okay, we're going to talk about other bondages that we were in a minute. But we were under the bondage of sin. Okay? So there they were. They were stuck. And before we became Christians, we were stuck as well. Okay, so the Armenians, they were having a hard time. But we're not going to leave them there because there's always hope in Christ, right? Okay, the Armenians in about the year 1920 had some country come in and save them from this genocide. Anybody got a clue? Okay, don't get smart unless you're going to share with all of us. Nope. Russia. Who said Russia? Yes. Communist Russia. See, these days, the U.S. is the savior to the world. Back then, the U.S. wasn't. Russia came in, of all people. The Armenians found their salvation through Russia. Okay, does anybody remember communism? The Cold War? Yeah, it was a scary place still. But the Armenians have a lot of respect and they really appreciate Russia because it saved them from the genocide. Okay? So even though communism is not a world system that works, it saved the Armenians. So the Armenians were happy with it. Okay? Here's my one little parallel again. Anybody got a clue where I'm going? The Israelites got saved out of Egypt. And they jumped right out of Egypt into... Help me out. Well, they didn't jump straight into the promised land. They jumped straight into the wilderness, the barren wasteland. That's right. So while the wilderness was somewhat better than slavery, they're still a little stuck. Okay? All right? Personal application. Once we get saved, We're no longer in slavery, but we got to make our way to Canaan, right? There's a wilderness that some of us travel, and we keep going around the desert, right? Or am I the only one that's been out in the desert? Come on, help me out. Yeah? So what kind of things take us into the desert? Personally, for me, immaturity is one. Anything else? Anger. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, yeah. I know. Anger. Anything else? Hollywood. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hollywood makes us, it gives us all these high expectations for how the world should be, and then we look out and it's not there. And we find ourselves in the desert. Right. Good one. What else? I told you, I can't do all the talking. Bitterness. Ooh, ouch. Yeah. Anything else? Disobedience. Oh, yeah. Ouch. I've done that one. Ouch. Yeah. So now you got a feel to what keeps us in the desert and out of Canaan. It's not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. But, you know, I guess it's better than, you know, working for Pharaoh. Maybe. Yeah. Well, the Israelites, their shoes never wore out. So, you know, it's got its perks. And the Armenians, man, they felt the perks of the USSR. And it was okay. They weren't being killed anymore. But then, in around the year 1991-92, communism basically imploded on itself. And there was no more USSR. There was no more communist Russia. And then, Armenia got to experience freedom. For the first time in many, 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 many years, they are now the Republic of Armenia. Yay, Armenians! They can now openly practice their faith. They can now openly be Armenian Orthodox. They're very happy about it. Now, one thing about all these little countries that formed with the implosion of Russia is that they had all been under the communist state, okay, where everybody shares everything, and there weren't any independently run, okay, where's that word? There wasn't independently run commerce. You know, like the grocery store was a communist grocery store, and so all of a sudden without communism, there was nobody to take ownership of the grocery store. Okay? So it was a very, very rough transition. And in all honesty, Armenia is still having a rough time because their economy basically bottomed out when they became the Republic of Armenia. They had to start from the beginning. So it was pretty rough for them. But that's okay. That's okay. They're growing. Things are happening. Their economy is starting to build. They're trying to catch up with the Western states. Matter of fact, when I was investigating getting a cell phone, they're great things to have. And I was investigating getting one, and the tech guys in the Assemblies of God World Missions told me to wait to buy one until I got to Armenia. They're pretty high tech over there with stuff like that. Their hospitals, on the other hand, I just hope I don't get sick. I'm not sure that their needles are very clean. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's all right. They're catching up. They're growing. They're getting better. Okay? Also, I wanted to share with you about the Armenian church. Now, I've been telling you that they are Armenian Orthodox. Right? Well, guess what? Revival hit Armenia. There is a faction of people that have split off from the Orthodox Church. And I am told by my area director that Armenia is his favorite place to go because it's like walking into Acts chapter 3. That's exciting. Have you all read Acts chapter 3 lately? If not, that's your homework. Acts chapter 3, I'm telling you what, the church, the early church was going nuts, enjoying their salvation and enjoying their newfound relationship with their risen Savior. So that's the church that I get to be a part of. And that's what I get to do. All right? So now we make our parallel. The Israelites finally get to go to Canaan, the promised land. Yes! See, I knew you knew. You guys don't have to be so shy. You can talk to me. It's okay. I've been a children's pastor. I can handle it. Okay. The promised land. Okay, what was it? What was the thing that really kind of kept them out to begin with? Okay, the Israelites under Moses, they go across the Red Sea, they travel through the desert, and they get their Ten Commandments, and they reach the promised land. Moses sends in the 12 spies, and giants in the land! Look out! Look out! And they focused on the giants in the land. And that was another thing that kept them in the wilderness. But under Joshua, they entered Canaan, and they were given very explicit directions that everything in the land had to be just gone. You're not going to intermarry with these people that worship idols. You're going to take care of things the first time, right? Those were pretty explicit directions. Sure, I'm glad I live in the United States in the year 2004, because that would have been a mess to live and be a part of. But you know what? That's what they were supposed to do, because every person, those giants and the descendants of the giants, represented sin that had to be wiped out. Okay? So when we become a Christian, sometimes there's some stuff in our lives that's just huge. And it's hard to take care of. And we have to take care of those giants, right? Anybody know anybody that's gotten saved from drugs and alcohol? I used to work at Teen Challenge. Talk about some radical people. When you get saved from drugs and alcohol, you don't sit quietly and say, oh, praise God, life is good. You say, hallelujah! I'm not going to die tomorrow! And you get pretty excited about your faith. You know what I'm saying? And it's okay. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm a quiet person, generally. Except for that moment. Got a little excited. You know, it's good to be quiet. It's good to be who you are. God has made you special, and He has made you the unique person that you are. Some people are just louder than others. You know what I'm saying? But when people get saved from drugs and alcohol, some of the giants that they have to deal with are their physical addictions. And they're very real. They're very, very real. And they're very difficult. Now, when you grow up in the church, you face some different kinds of giants. Right? Okay, we talked about, you know, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, disobedience. Yeah, those are all things that are giants and that can send us back into the desert, can keep us from the promised land. What about a religious spirit? Ouch. How about a judgmental spirit? How about the expectation that Christians must be perfect? Because I grew up in the church and I know right from wrong, so why don't you? Ouch. Speaking from experience, okay? So don't think that, you know, I'm trying to be judgmental on anything. I'm just meddling because it's fun. And when you get to have the microphone, you can meddle too. No, that's not the reason I'm meddling. I'm meddling because these are serious issues that need to be dealt with. These giants need to be knocked out. Right? And I don't know if they're in your church tonight. I don't even know why I brought them up. But evaluate your heart. Make sure it's Christ-like. Christ accepted people for who they are, where they are. Right? Yeah. So, those are some things that those giants that keep us from Canaan. Okay? Now, I might talk about Canaan in a little bit, but I was talking about freedom. And when you get rid of the giants, You're free. You are so free to be exactly what God called you to be. Now, I did things a little backwards tonight. Normally, I tell about myself first, and then I get into my message and my parallels here. Okay, but don't hit your head back there, man. That'll hurt, dude. Okay. It's okay to laugh. That makes me feel better. But don't hit your head. Okay. About myself. And how in the world did I end up as a missionary going to a country that I've never been to, learning a language that's... Who's learning Arabic? Matt? You're learning Arabic? Well, thank heavens Armenian isn't quite as difficult as Arabic, but I think it's got its own tricks. They tell me it's got its own tricks. Arabic is one of the most difficult languages to learn. Man, my hat's off to you. Well, hey, you know what? It takes a while to learn those kind of languages. You don't learn them in a year the way you learn Spanish or Swahili, right? So, okay, I got saved when I was 5 years old, okay? We're going to talk about my passion and why I have this passion. I got saved when I was 5. Now, how did I get saved? It's a long story, but ultimately I got saved through the Baptist Church Bus Ministry. Mom's going to correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, but when I was approximately 5 years old, well, before I was 5, my mother has a sister, and her sister, she's got more than one sister, and she's got a big family. There are 9 kids in my mother's family, so, you know, 10 in yours, yeah. Well, my mother is 1 of 9, and her nearest sister and her are 11 months apart. And Auntie Carol Hillman, you're 10 months apart? 10 months apart? They're 10 months apart. Do you have any kids that close? You do? And that one? Wow. Man, that's working fast. Oof. So they're 11 or 10 months apart, and Auntie Carol Hillman lived in Eau Claire. She was married to Uncle Ron. They had 3 girls. And her youngest of the 3 is just a couple years older than me. Okay. And Mom, after she got married, lived in Osseo with my dad. Handy how that works. Mom and Dad living together. And I grew up in Osseo. And so when I was roughly 5, all this stuff was taking place. The Baptist church bus started picking up my cousins and taking them to church. Well, my cousins kept coming home saying, Mom and Dad, come to church with us. Come to church with us. And, you know, no. You know how parents are, right? You know how parents are. You all have parents, right? You know how parents are. So, no. Well, finally they caved. They finally caved. They went to church. Well, after they went to the Baptist church, they got saved. Man, they had an encounter with Jesus that was just dynamic. They got saved. And, well, of course, Auntie Carol Hillman, mother being her closest sister, I mean, she wants her family to get saved. You know, they grew up, the family is Lutheran. And Lutheran is a good thing. Provided within being a Lutheran, you have your relationship with Jesus. Well, they didn't have that. All they had was Lutheran. You're missing something when that's what happens, okay? So my aunt, she's like, she talks to my mom gets saved. And she's saved. I mean, the family got saved to the point where one of the neighbors said, you know, this used to be a fun neighborhood till the Wagners got religion. I think that's funny. Okay, so Mom, she's tucking me in one night. I'm 5 years old. And she said, Nikki, how do you get to heaven? What did I say? I said, by being baptized and by going to church. Oh, just by being baptized. Because the Lutherans, they believe in infant baptism. And I was baptized, so I figured I was going to heaven, right? Made sense to me, because that's what everybody told me. And I'm 5, I'm going to accept what people tell me, right? You did when you were 5 mostly, right? Okay, well, Mom said, nope, that's not quite it. You have to ask Jesus into your heart and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Well, nobody told me that before. And all of a sudden, at 5 years old, I find out that I'm not going to heaven. I'm going to hell. Well, I tell you what, I did the only logical thing that any 5-year-old would do. I got saved. I mean, wouldn't you? Yeah. So I was 5 years old when I got saved. And our family started going to the Augusta Assembly of God Church with Pastor Dale Hazard. And Pastor Dale Hazard, this year, has been there 30 years. That's pretty cool. So I grew up under his ministry. And when I was 9, I went to Spencer Lake Youth Camp. I know it's not the same as Assembly Park. I didn't know about Assembly Park. I was 9. Okay? I don't think the church knew about Assembly Park. So I went to Spencer Lake, and when I was 9, that's the year that I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So far, you've discovered that there's a reason that I believe in bus ministry. There's a reason that I believe in children's ministry. Because children can experience the power of God in a radical way, often in ways that adults don't get. Okay? And you young folks, man, rock on. Okay, I'm from the 80s. Okay? So then when I was 13, Pastor Dale had this single missionary lady come to the church, and she was with Wycliffe Bible Translators. Do y'all know about them? Yeah, kind of. Well, they do like some crazy things. They go out in the bush and they find these lost tribes and they put their language into a written form and they give them the Bible in their own language. And when I was 13, that's the day that I knew God called me into missions. That missionary came to our church and talked about missions. And I said, that's what I'm going to do with my life. That's it. And I know to this very day that God called me at that time. I can rest assured in that. And there is nothing that I can do to run from the call that God placed in my life when I was 13 years old. Because I tried. And it's a miserable place to be. Who said it was disobedience will take you into the wilderness? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. So I believe in children's ministries. Now, how does that tie in with I'm going to Armenia? Well, in Armenia, the Orthodox churches, the adults go in and the children run around outside and play. Well, that would explain why they don't have any young people in their churches. The Pentecostal church is kind of basing a lot of what they do off of that because that's really what they know. To my knowledge, there's only a few churches in the country that have any sort of children's ministries. So my job is to go to Armenia. First, I have to learn the language and establish relationships. And from there, we can look at building children and youth ministries in the country. So that's my job. That's what God has for me. And I get to be a part of it in a church that is rocking. I'm talking, these people know how to pray and they know how to worship God. I'm excited to go there. I'm so excited to go there. And I'm excited to know that I can make a difference so that they don't lose the next generation. But the next generation comes along and they learn about Christ as well. And the next generation can be radically saved. That's what I'm about. That's what I'm here to do. And now I know Armenia probably has some giants and some big things to hurdle. My area director said, you've got 2 major hurdles in front of you. I had lunch with him one day and he said, 1, you're single, and 2, you're a woman. In the Russian countries as a whole, it is still not unheard of for Christians even, in their Christian homes, for the wives to be very subservient. Youch. That's a rough one for my American rights and freedoms. But that's okay. With God, we can conquer. With God, we can conquer. Okay? Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And I have to turn the page to get the second part of the verse. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay? That's about those giants in the land. Okay? I'm going to go establish relationship with the Armenians. I'm not going to let these hurdles get in my way. I'm going to overcome them by the grace of the Lord. And what we have to do here in the States is live our life to the fullest. Because everybody can't be a missionary. You know? I talked about how I've been a children's pastor, and I told some of you that I've been a substitute teacher. I also worked for a computer software company. So I've done a lot of things, mostly because I had to be bivocational. In order for me to be a children's pastor, I had to work in order to keep a roof over my head. Okay? And that's just the breaks. That's just the way it is. And that's great. That's what God called me for at that time. And that's what I did to the best of my ability and with all my heart. So I exhort you as the church in Wilson, you're in Wilson, Wisconsin. The church is Calvary Assembly of God. Calvary Assembly of God. Be the best Calvary Assembly of God that you can be. Okay? You recognize what the giants are. Don't let them get you down. Overcome them and be the best Calvary Assembly of God that you can be. Does God expect perfection? Only in love. Be perfect in love. Does that give room for error? Oh, yeah. God expects us to be humans. And it's wonderful because that way, when we are, we know that God doesn't suddenly get shocked to the point that he falls off his throne. Right? It's cool. It's great. So did I wrap up all the things that I started off with? I think I got them all in there. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. The Armenians are finally a free people, and they're pressing on towards knowing the freedom of Jesus Christ. Which reminds me, are there a lot of Catholics in this community? Yeah? Yeah? Have Catholics ever looked at you really weird when you say, "Are you saved?" They just look at you like, what are you talking about? A couple of things that I learned when I was studying about the Orthodox Church is that a better approach is to ask, are you practicing your faith? Because that's something that they can understand and get a handle on. Because to just ask them if they're saved, they're going to be like, are you from this country? Are you practicing your faith? That's witnessing tip number 101. Okay. I'm doing the mental evaluation. Did I share everything I wanted to share? I'm doing the spiritual wait. Okay, God, do you want an altar call? Do you want a question answer time? God, what would you have for tonight? Let's do a couple of questions. It's not 8 o'clock yet. Are you used to being here until 8? Yeah. I wish I would have done at 7:30. What's wrong with that chick? Hey! Boy, I feel special. Oh, well, worship is good. Worship is awesome. Are you on the worship team? You play the guitar? So does Ben. Where's Ben? Hey, Ben. How's it going? Cool. Any questions? Good question. Are the Muslims still in control? That was the one thing I forgot to share. Okay, Armenia is like right here on my fingertips. And then we've got Turkey, which the Turkeys, they're not Arabs. They're Asian of their descent. They're Asian, actually. But they adopted the Muslim beliefs. So the Turkeys are very strong Muslims. And they've actually, for the most part, closed the border between Turkey and Armenia. And then to the north, you have Georgia. Georgia is also a Muslim country, but they've kept the border open, which is great, except that Georgia has been in the middle of a civil war that just recently ended, so it didn't do the Armenians any good to have that border open. And then to the east, we have the country of Azerbaijan. Mary is going to Azerbaijan? No. Karen is going to Azerbaijan. They're also Muslim. They have closed the border to Armenia. And there's... Okay, mother, close your ears. There's still some fighting between Azerbaijan and Armenia. So the things are a little tense over there on that side of the country. And then to the south, we have the wonderful country of Iran, which is also our Muslim. Okay, so we've got Muslim all around. And then we have this one little tiny itty-bitty Christian country. And economically, it's also landlocked. Okay, I compare it to Hawaii. Hawaii only has, you know, limited resources, and everything they get has to be imported in. Well, that's essentially the way it is in Armenia. It's landlocked. So there's like one major road through Iran that they get their supplies from. Yeah. So that was a long answer to a short question. You know what? That's former Russia in general. What happened in Armenia is that because jobs were so scarce, because the economy just bottomed, many of the men in the country just plain left the country to go to other places to find work. So the women have had to educate themselves and rise to the occasion. And so, yeah, there's still some male dominance, but, you know, it's not like most of the countries around it, because the women have had to rise up. The women have had to do the job. And the ratio of men to women is really imbalanced. It's like one man to, like, nine women. So while being a woman is just a hurdle, it's only a hurdle. I'll probably have an apartment. And that brings up a prayer request. If y'all wouldn't mind praying with me about a roommate. I've discovered that I don't do as well when I live on my own as when I have a roommate, which is one of the reasons God opened the door for me to live with my mom. I get the basement, she gets the condo. Well, she bought it, so it's hers. So it's very generous of her to give me the basement. And she lets me come upstairs even, too. Yeah. So if y'all wouldn't mind praying for a roommate, that's a very major concern that I have. As far as the roommate, obviously you're thinking of a girl. Well, most generally I am too, but I'm really not married, so I wouldn't mind a male roommate provided he marries me first. There's some stipulations on that one. Any other questions? The standard of living. Well, it's certainly not what it is here in America. But for the most part, you know, you hear about Romania and the children living in the sewers and things like that. You don't necessarily have that there. Generally, there's multi-generational homes. You know, mom, dad, kids, grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles. And that's out of necessity. The standard of living, it's clean, relatively speaking, for their economic base. It's pretty clean, but it's certainly not what we would have here in America. As far as the economy, though, you're thinking that I'm going to get things really cheap. That's not true. If you figure cost of living in America, think of it as 100%. Okay? Basically, income equals outgo, you know? So, you know, it's like 100%. In Armenia, cost of living is over 150%. So that pushed my budget up a little bit. Because it's a poor country, but because they have to import so much, it's an expensive place to live. So I'll probably have some conveniences that most of the people in the country won't have. And to be honest, that's expected. They expect me to live that way because they understand that as an American, there are things that I have to do to maintain my health and my sanity. So, you know, they don't get upset about that. They won't be upset about that. Okay, I will be going to the Armenian Pentecostal Church. I will be working with them. As far as a place, I will be based out of the capital city of Yerevan. They actually came to the Assemblies of God and asked for missionaries to come and help them. So that's a blessing right there. The church came, not the government. So the government is accepting us so far, so we have to tread pretty lightly because our first missionary couple just got there. They've only been there about a year. Nick and Olivia Puccini are from the Minnesota district, and then Gary and Katie Shanahan from our district just left the end of February. So I will be the third household in the country of Armenia as an Assemblies of God missionary. Well, I chose Armenia because the work is new. It's fresh. It's a pioneer work. It is truly considered a pioneer work because the missionaries there are new. Everything that's happening is new. Things are just being formed. And that's what I want to be a part of. You know, it's harder to step in and try to fill somebody else's shoes. It's easier to create your own and make your own footsteps. And I'm just thankful that God is allowing me this opportunity. Okay, I understand your question. I have to think about it. I don't have an exact answer for that. I don't. I know that because they're Christians, they've somewhat kept to themselves. No, not really. They haven't really wanted to, you know? It's like, it's like in New York, you've got Chinatown. Yes, there's a land dispute. There's land disputes between Azerbaijan. Yeah. Yeah, because the Armenians consider themselves the first Christian nation. They also trace their heritage back to the great-grandson of Noah. Okay? And Noah, as you remember, the ark landed on Mount Ararat. The Armenians can see Mount Ararat from the capital city of Yerevan, but they can't go to it. That's something that the Turks took away from them. And so that they haven't bothered fighting with the Turks because... You know, that's just kind of silly. But the Azerbaijan thing on the opposite side of the country of Armenia, that's just land disputes. And it may have something, well, it most likely is historical because, you know, consider Africa the tribal disputes. It's kind of a similar thing. There are some Kurds in the country of Armenia, and the Kurds are, at this point, the largest people group without their own country. So that's another area of ministry is to the Kurds. I believe they're animistic. Yeah, they've got all sorts of weird stuff happening in their belief system. I'm not even going to go there. Well, my final word. If you have more questions, I'll be around. But my final word, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Jesus, I thank you for this time to come to this church in Wilson, Wisconsin. God, I thank you for this pretty little town, for all the grass that gets mowed here. And there's a lot of grass that gets mowed in this little town. Jesus, you care about every blade of grass, but more than that, you care about every person in this town. God, I pray a fresh fire, a fresh passion on this church, to reach the lost and to look around and see what's going on outside their own little church. God, I thank you for this church that's a missions-minded church. God, it's awesome. It's incredible. And I pray blessings 100-fold on this church, on Pastor Manon, on the youth pastor, and on every youth that's in here, on every adult that's in here. God, I pray blessing upon blessing. And God, I pray that you would safeguard our hearts. God, I pray that you would help us to look inward and see if there are any giants in our way that keep us from ministering outward to the people that are around us. I thank you for the peace that's in this place. I thank you for the quiet joy that is in this place. And I pray that your anointing would fall upon this church in a brand new, fresh way. God, I pray that Pastor and his family have a safe vacation. I pray that you would touch them, refresh them, give them just an incredible time in you. And I thank you for all that you're doing in us, around us, and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.